The scripture today is Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Good morning, church family. We're going to celebrate next week with a family that one of the young people was baptized. We'll have a video and everything. It was taking place at camp. So we just wanted to let you know that next week we'll have that celebration. It's always a celebration when somebody gives their lives to Jesus Christ and follows him all the way. Now you're like, Pastor, why are you wearing a mask? out of caution, I was exposed to someone who has been exposed. You know how that goes? And so we found that out late last night, and so I've been distancing. We haven't been around people today, and that will continue. So that's why I'm doing this. The other thing is that we have started to see a rise in the Adventist Church within the state, and with all kinds of results. Some have it really bad. For those of you who don't know, that there is a pandemic right now, and that there is some people that are getting sick, very sick, and some don't get very sick. It just kind of just depends on who you are, and it doesn't matter right now with this variant, whether you have the flu shot or not, you can still get it. But we do know this, that as a church, we try to do the best we can for our church family members, and we try and watch out for one another the best we can. So this is my way of doing it the best I can, is to keep distance today. And I would like you to pray for a lot of the churches that are closed today, especially the ones a little east of us, and pray for their congregations as they are dealing with a large outbreak. And so just continue to remember our church members in this state and across the world as we try and deal with this. Let's bow our heads as we open God's word today. Our Father in heaven, as we look at your scriptures and we try to figure out things that are good for our lives, we pray, dear Father, that you'll give us the ability to see beyond us, that you'll give us an inkling of who you are today, and dear Father, how we can be key to other people hearing about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you have ever planted a seed? Some of you are like, yeah, you don't really want to raise it too hard. How long did that seed live? Some of you are like, I watched it grow up, and I watched it produce fruit, and I watched it keep growing, and I had to give parts of it away because it wouldn't stop growing. Some of you are like, I watered it, it grew about this tall, and then it died. Sometimes that happens. But you know, there's an expectation this time of year that what you planted at the beginning of the season, you're now going to have to reap the benefits, right? If you plant corn in the ground in the spring, what do you expect in the fall? Beets, right? No, you expect corn. And if you plant soybeans, what do you expect in the fall? Soybeans. And the list goes on and on and on. Once you plant something, you expect that that's what you will reap. To reap what we sow. Galatians 6 and 9 and 10, this sermon could be called Bearing One Another's Burdens. But you know what? This time of year, that just didn't sound right, did it? How many of you have ever had to harvest and carry the sacks of grain? How many of you ever had to palletize those sacks of grain? How many of you have ever done a day's work on a farm? Ah, I see. How many of you still farm? None of you. Okay. Some of you do. But I would like you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to spend our time here today. And Galatia is kind of, it's an interesting part of Greece. It's kind of right in the middle, but it, you know, it doesn't have straight borders. It's around Pamphylia and other things like that in the ancient world. There's a lot of other places, too, that are within this. I know one of them was the other Antioch, not the Antioch of Syria. and Lystra and a couple of those in the middle there. That's what this area is. And so when Paul comes to this, he is trying to tell the people there, there are some Jews and some are not that are Christian. And they're having a few conflicts, but nothing extraordinary. But then he starts writing this to them. This is the closing, the closing greetings, if you will. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test their own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anyone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions of the word must share to all the good things which he is instructed. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And the one who sows to please his sinful nature, for that nature he will reap destruction. The one that sows to please the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us now become weary in doing what? Good. Have you ever worked really hard and felt tired? Like, no, Pastor, never. I'm the Energizer Bunny. Have you ever done work and felt really tired, but you felt fulfilled? Yes, that is the most strange feeling on the planet. When you're dead tired, but you feel like you're filled with overflowing, and you just want to yell to the rooftops and to the mountains, everything is good. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. For all proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Verse 11 says, see that large letters that I use to write with my own hand. This is a curious thought, isn't it not? See what large letters I use to write to you in my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want to be circumcised that they may boast about the flesh. May I never boast except for the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world has been, crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all that follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me to trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. What happened to Paul when he met Jesus? He was blinded. And after the blinding happened, what happened when he was healed? Scales fell off of his eyes. He was plagued with that from then on. It was something that he says, I have to write really large so that you can understand me and I can see. So in his infirmity, in the thing that he had wrong with him because he saw God or saw whatever it was of God, he blesses God every time he thinks of that. And everybody is trying to say, well, you know, you need to do this. It doesn't matter what it is. Nowadays, it's not circumcision. That's not the thing. That's not the point of this whole text. The point is, whatever your pet peeve is and you think everybody else should do it, that's your circumcision. Is that so important that you're willing to sacrifice somebody else's relationship with God? You'd be like, Pastor, but you know what? It's important. Yeah, it may be important. It may be the best thing on the planet. But are you willing to sacrifice another Christian for your pet peeve? That hit me upside the head this week so hard, I about fell down the stairs. It was like, whoa, what do you mean? If I'm gonna reap what I sow, what am I sowing in my field of life? When I see a friend that had lung cancer and it went to his brain and went to other parts of his body, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, it's okay, praise God. What? all the inspirational things on Facebook. I knew that he was hurting. I could see it on his face when he took pictures. But every time I talked to him, it was always about God and how he loved God and that God was the one getting him through. And I said, well, what? God let you have this. And he says, no, he didn't. The devil gave it to me. And as I started reflecting back on his life all the way to high school, because I remember him coming to stay in my house, all of a sudden I started to see we reap what we sow. His children were in trouble because they financially couldn't. I mean, did you know a funeral costs about $6,000 to $10,000 now? Woo! That was crazy. And that's the one that's the econo. And so I looked at this, and a number of my friends looked at this, and we're like, you know what? We need to help them. But every time I talked to one of my friends, they were like, you know what? I didn't have much to say to that guy, and I didn't talk to him much, but he was an inspiration to my life. In the suffering that he had, I could tell that he had sown something way back when that said, I'm a child of God. When we bear one another's burdens, it's a beautiful picture of a relationship that Jesus Christ has. God in the world all around us. Let's take a look this morning at what it looks like to be a growing, vibrant community according to Galatians 6. And you're like, oh, that was kind of a terrible text. It was talking about things that I really don't want to discuss, but it was talking about deeper things. It was talking about things that we don't know about sometimes because we don't take the time to look at the little minutia. When I put a picture like this up, what do you think? As a good Adventist, most of you are like, Saturday evening popcorn. Some of you that have done farming, seed corn. Some of you that have ever ground things up for chicken, be like, this chicken feed. Some of you may have fed it to cows. Some of you, you look at that and you're like, nope. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But if I take this and I put it in the ground, and I let water and minerals and worms and everything else that goes into the dirt do its thing. Voila. Today I drove into church, and I see many colors of tractors because I live in a community that's, I think, divided. I see green tractors and blue tractors and yellow tractors and red tractors. And as they're harvesting, I notice that there is a certain time period that they hit the corn. Some of them, they need a certain moisture content. They need to make sure it's so dry. Some of them, they don't care. If it's green, chop it up, feed it to the animals. Silage. And as you're looking into the fields and you're seeing a certain intensity, they also know that their time is limited in when they can harvest that field. And then they have to move on to the next crop because there's a lot of things that you and I just don't see. I see the tractors and I'm like, beep, 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 get off the road, you're caught. There's 20 people behind me. Like, you want to eat this winter? Oh, yeah, never mind. But when you plant something in the ground, you expect something to come up. So when you plant that little corn and it grows up and it grows more corn, as today I drove to church, it was a reminder to me that there's a necessity to have a harvest. There's a necessity to make sure that you know exactly what the crop is. You also have to have storage that's ready. I mean, how many of you have ever bought something and be like, okay, like a whole bunch of beans? You buy a whole bunch of beans that are dry, and you're like, I'm going to store them at home, and you have them in the bags, and then you're like, oh, wait, where do I put them? And then you buy some lentils, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put them all in, and then they get in this big clump, and you're like, I can't find it. And 3 years later, you find out that you bought way too many beans 3 years ago, and you haven't used them. So you decide, like I did, it's time to get some containers that you put them in and label them so you know what they are. And when you do that, then you use them more often. At least we do. And then you don't buy a whole lot. You just know how much you have. And if you have too much, you give it away. So when you reap something and when you harvest, you also have to know that there is storage. And when a farmer looks at storage, he may not have the silos to put all the stuff in and dry the stuff. He may have to go to a place that dries it and transports it for him. And it's, you know, wholesalers and all that kind of stuff. And when you transport all that, if every single farmer gets there at the same time, man alive, that's not a good thing. I've seen it dumped on the ground. Now, granted, they have tarps and things like that, but I've seen it dumped on the ground waiting to get into the dryers and waiting for transport because everybody got it done at the same time. And sometimes when you do that, there's waste. In fact, there's a lot of waste sometimes. So how do you kind of pull this back into what we believe as Christians? In the marketing, the shipping, the transportation, et cetera. Before it comes to our table, there's a lot that happens. And if you look at our lives as Christians, if you look at Galatians chapter 6 and you read it, on the surface, it's like harvesting corn and not having a place to put it. It's like, wait, how do I digest this? How do I understand what's going on? Well, if you look at this carefully, and as we look at it today, you'll find out that when people come in contact with people that have met Jesus Christ, they can't help but tell others about him. And when they tell others about him, it is an interesting thing that happens because you're left with a choice, are you not? How many of you have had the choice to take care of that plant that you bought and brought home? Some of you are like, I didn't have the chance. It died. I have been there. Believe me, I can kill cactus. Just because. You have to take care of them. But when it comes to people, when it comes to investment in people, it's easy to talk about it as Christians. It's easy to have theories. It's easy to have all kinds of stuff. But when the rubber meets the road, when you meet that person that you've never met before and they say, tell me about your religion, what do you say? Well, we don't eat meat. We don't worship on Sunday. Does that sound familiar? I've said it myself. Instead of telling them first, I believe in Jesus Christ. I love him implicitly. I follow him the best way that I can. Would you like to come take a journey with me? Because I don't have all the answers. It's refreshing nowadays to hear somebody say, I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to take a journey with you forever. It's refreshing to know that somebody else is willing to be there in the trenches with you. Because let me tell you, when we're not here at church, sometimes it's a lonely place. It's a lonely place because then you lose loved ones and you don't have anybody to support you. I've lost over 10 people in the last 2 months that I know. I'm still chewing and digesting on some of the first ones that died. It's hard to say goodbye. We have hope. I know. I'm a pastor. I know I have hope. I know that we're going to see them again. We're going to see God, and he's going to take care of things. But it is hard to say goodbye because they leave a hole in your life. And when they leave a hole in your life, you're like, you look at the field, and there's a big section missing. It's not a crop circle or anything like that. But there's a big circle missing. There's something that's just plucked out. And that you need to fill it with something else, and you can't because that person is irreplaceable, because that person is so influential on your life. Our faith is like an action that requires us to look at the crop and make sure that what we planted is something that we take care of. What happened early on with some of the sprouts, I don't know about you, but when you take a seed, you have a couple different options. You can put it in the refrigerator until it's time. And then when you put it in the ground, it will sprout depending on the weather outside and the crop, I mean the ground and everything. Or you can plant it right away and do no preparation whatsoever. What happens? If you're like me, you get tomatoes that have blossom rot because the soil is not enriched. The soil does not have the calcium it needs. It doesn't have the fertilizer it needs. It doesn't have the water that it needs. And then just a few feet away, you've done that with something else and it just starts producing like crazy and you can't pick enough and you can't eat enough. Have you ever had those tomato plants where you just can't, it doesn't stop and you give them away and they still come? Most of you, it's zucchini, I know. Zucchini just starts coming out of everywhere. But what about our relationship with other people? What about people that come to our church? Do we have an evangelistic meeting and say, these are the things that you need to believe, and now that you believe, just stay in the pew and nobody talks to you? That's not nurture. That's not what happens when you want to take a healthy crop and make it to the end. I don't know about you, but if you've ever watched sunflower fields, it's a beautiful thing. Because when there are one of the perfect crops that I know of that kind of help us as Christians, when the sun goes across the sky, guess what the sunflowers do? Especially during the good, healthy part of their life. They watch the sun. It's really good for us too to remember that if we want to have a healthy crop in our own life, if we want to have a healthy relationship with God, we have to watch the S-O-N. We have to keep our eyes on him because he's the one that is going to give us the ability to shine on other people so they understand. And it's also easy when you have a crop that if you have all one crop in a field, and I know they do a little bit of mixed crops and stuff like that, I know that. But if you have a whole lot of one kind of plant, it's easier to harvest them, and it's also easier for them to be able to produce because it's all one type of a plant. When I started to grow and nurture certain plants, I noticed that if they had good soil, fertilizer, and water, that it was like us. We learn, absorb, and share. Sometimes we forget about that, that the plants actually share with one another. When their roots go down, they intermingle. When they intermingle, they actually, if one gets moisture and a couple around it don't, it goes down to the roots and it actually shares. There are trees in certain forests that will share the liquid among all the trees. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Because we look at trees and plants and we're like, oh, they're just things we cut up and everything. Don't worry about it. But there is a little bit of sharing there, and it's amazing. Because if you see that, if a tree can share, why can't I? If a tree can make sure that somebody else is taken care of, why can't I? It's interesting to me, too, that once you have all those things, the team or the group of plants becomes a crop. Sometimes a crop is useful when it's crushed. I don't know if you've ever seen fields like this, but I saw them for the last 12 years. They're canola. Beautiful, beautiful. When they blossom like this, you know it's just a couple weeks before they're gonna harvest them. Because when the pods dry, then they take them usually to Canada and smush them and they make canola oil. But the beauty is that once you have that field in bloom like this, it's all one mass of brilliant yellow. Not just yellow, brilliant yellow. And when the wind starts blowing through that, there is nothing like that. It is absolutely beautiful. But you know what? Sometimes, is it not true that we as Christians get crushed and something good comes out of it? That something is very useful about being oppressed sometimes because out of that comes a determination and a willingness to infuse other people with what we know. I've seen it. I was in Belarus and I heard them sing about Jesus, and I've never heard the beauty that I have heard from them singing harmonies that are just beyond what I can even imagine. Sometimes we look at the scripture like today and we look at the circumcision and not circumcision and we're like, oh, you know, that was a terrible debate. But what he is saying here is, you know what? Don't do it for show. Because some of them, I don't know what in the world the malfunction was in that world right there. But apparently they didn't wear much clothes at times. And so they could tell who was a Jew and who was not. I'll just let your imagination run too. Just don't let it run too much. But it's amazing that they use that as, I'm better than you are. And Paul was trying to say, listen, you're missing the point. You're missing the point that your pet peeve, the little thing that you think you're good at, you're missing the point. If it's not Jesus and him crucified, what's the purpose of circumcision to begin with? It was a sign between the people and God. And it was other things too. I mean, if you look at the history of this area, you look that there was all kinds of reasons why people would fight. And Paul right here is just like, what are we doing? If you love somebody so much and you want to follow them so much and you know that there are people watching you and following you because they don't know the way to the one that you know, is there anything that you won't give up to make sure that they get to heaven? Wait a minute. Let me say that again because this hurts. This goes straight to my heart, okay? Because I am as guilty as anyone else. There is nothing that I am willing to keep as my own and not give up if it makes someone else see Jesus more clearly. My opinions are great. I mean, they're wonderful, okay? But if they're not grounded in Scripture and the love of Jesus Christ and the things that we know to be true as Seventh-day Adventists, because we know a lot of things to be true, if it's something that causes somebody else from getting into the kingdom, I'm going to give it up. Because the love that I have is overflowing because God has poured out so much love, I can't contain it all. Be like going to that granary and realizing, oh wait, we've got 5 trucks too many. What do you do with it? We gotta build new barns. We gotta wait, we gotta dry this stuff. We gotta make sure that it's taken care of and we gotta give it to people. Well, drive down the prices, who cares? That's what I'm all about. This is what we do. I'm not willing that anyone should lose eternal life because of my silliness. And sometimes I don't believe it's silly. I think it's absolutely the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There's nothing I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't bear fruit if I wasn't a Christian. If I knew that when the fall came and the fruit would rot off and the branches of all the things that I've created would fall off and they would all die and I would just get one little teeny, okay, maybe not teeny because I wouldn't want teeny, but a big tomato, just one tomato, I would grow my garden because I would like to taste that one tomato that we grew. If we can have that much determination for a plant and some vegetables, why can't we have that determination for one person to enter the kingdom of God? A lot of times we say that it's a failure. It's a failure because we didn't get many people to the evangelistic meeting. But you know what? If it's just one, it's enough. What if that person was you? What if that series of meetings was just you that came in and said yes to Jesus? Wouldn't you want the people to risk everything for you? It's amazing too, we have a school, and I know there are a lot of non-Adventists in the school, and I know there are a lot of kids that want to hear Jesus' stories, and it's amazing to me to watch them every day hear the stories about Jesus, and they have no clue some of the stories that I tell them. And when they hear about it, they're like, that's real? And I'm like, yep, it's in the Bible. Can you imagine what it would take for them to share with their friends, their parents' parents, and how wildly it would spread? If I didn't do that, what would happen? It's amazing to me that when I stand in the grocery store, no matter what I do, if I'm in my workplace, wherever, that people see that I'm a little bit different and they see that I'm not weird, but I love Jesus Christ. When someone dies in our church here, when people stick around and say, hey, listen, we care about you. It's important. But it's also important to realize that if we have somebody else we know that's not a member of this church that loses somebody, that we go up to them too. And you know what? Somebody cares about you. We care about you. We know it's hard. We know that you've lost somebody. We just want to say that we're behind you. It's not about circumcision or not circumcision. It's about the followers of Christ. And it's about seeing and seeking God. Paul had a terrible time with his vision. In his current state, he wrote this letter because he was thinking it was important. He couldn't even see the letters clear enough to write them small. He had to write them large. And he had to make sure that the people understood that he was writing among the affliction that he had, but he didn't care about the affliction because he knew that it was a reminder that God said yes to him. He wanted to count his blessing. Look at the crowds of people all the time that are all around us. Study them. Just think. Who has planted a seed among that group of people? Who is letting it sprout? Who is listening? Who is learning in that group of people? We don't know. It's amazing. Who will grow and who will produce a harvest? Just look at your own life. When did you decide for yourself, yep, I'm gonna sprout. I'm gonna let that little thing that Jesus has done for me, I'm gonna let it grow in my life. I'm gonna let it become something big. I'm gonna let it mature in my life. Do you remember that day where you said, yes, Jesus? May have been walking down an aisle. It may have been just an aha moment. It may have been when somebody asked you, is it time to follow Jesus Christ? But you let it start growing in your life. And now look back and see where you are today compared to where you were. If you haven't grown whatsoever, maybe it's still in the refrigerator. You need to get it out and you need to plant it. And planting it means to be vulnerable. It means to let things happen. Let God take control of your life. Because let me tell you, I'm a type A personality. And for God to take charge of my life, it's a struggle every day. But when you do it, you finally realize that when I'm not in control, life is a lot happier. That when God is in control, I give things over to him that I never thought were possible to give up or to give into. When do you decide to yourself that you will follow God all the way, that he would influence you and all the other stuff becomes secondary? How many of you live a life for others and point everything that you do back to Jesus Christ? What are you willing to give up? Things that you might find pleasure. I mean, some things aren't bad in themselves. They aren't. But if they cause somebody else to trip and fall because I'm doing them, I have to look at that and analyze it. I have to look at it and say, how valuable is it really to me? I may enjoy doing this, but it might hurt somebody. Let's not do that. Just because it might. You're like, Pastor, that's not really fair. People should live their own lives and they should come in contact with God and it should change them their way. That's not how really we work as a group of people. We always compare ourselves, do we not? And I don't want you to feel guilty about this sermon today. I don't want you to feel guilty at all. I want you to look at the face of Jesus Christ and realize who he is and what can make a man that has a terminal disease that he's been fighting and fighting and fighting and then driving home and he gets killed in a car accident and everybody says, he was a man of God. I know that. The encouragement that came from that man when he was going through the worst time of his life was amazing. What caused that to happen? I want that. What caused it is the fact that he gave his heart to Jesus Christ a long time ago and he let that seed grow. He found pleasure in following Jesus Christ. And you know what? He was the most wonderful soul I've ever met. For the sake of someone else growing toward Jesus, I imagine he did without a lot. In fact, he even served our country in some of the worst places on the planet. I know that he had probably been to Desert Storm and probably Afghanistan too. But you know what? He always had a smile on his face and he never had an enemy. Everyone was his friend. And for me, I think that's what I strive for today. I mean, how many of you, if you plant a mango tree, well, don't do that in Wisconsin, that doesn't work. But if you planted a mango tree, would expect to pick strawberries. Be like, Pastor, you're nuts. But you know, when you plant something, you see it grow and you see it come to maturity and you guard it with your life because you want it to produce. It's amazing that the day you pick it, the satisfaction you have of eating that fruit. I only see the crop and the harvest, but God sees more. My job is someone to tend the crop, to nurture, water, fertilize, cultivate, and harvest. God's job is to do the rest, sometimes even doing my job so that I can see that I am not in control. And then I can take that seed and I can bear fruit because I can plant it in the ground. If I look at any kind of crowd around here, if I boast, let it only be the cross of Jesus Christ in the center of this text here today, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Have you been crucified with Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it. Have we really been crucified with Jesus Christ, or am I still in charge? I had to really do some self-examination this week when I heard my friend died. Because it was just kind of like one voice in a bunch that had passed away recently. But you know what? This one kind of hit me hard because I know he's a man of God. He wasn't a pastor or anything like that, but he served our country, and he was the most pleasant, wonderful person. But what does it look like? What does it look like to plant that seed and see it start to grow in someone else? If we've been crucified with Jesus Christ, that he lives within us, I would like to close with a prequel to today's text. If you'll turn with me back to the previous chapter and start in verse 22. It's just a few verses back. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envy one another. What this tells me in loud, loud terms is it's time to get right with Jesus Christ, because if we do, then all of a sudden we no longer worry about the do's and don'ts. We worry about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we worry about the people around us, that they may see Jesus clearly. And I want to be a window. I don't want to be a barrier to anyone else. And it's interesting to me, too, that the Holy Spirit does the work. Have you ever purposed in your mind, like I had to this week, Holy Spirit, do your work through me? Don't say that if you don't mean it. Don't say it. I'm an introvert, and I really am shy around, you know, people I don't know and stuff like that. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting out with the kids, and they're playing, and all of a sudden, this lady comes up, and she says, can my grandkids come play too? If you're watching today, hello. It's amazing to talk to someone and realize that I'm shy. I don't like to, you know, get to know other people. It's hard. And you say, Pastor, but that's your job. Yes, but it's also hard. And in talking to this person, it was an encouragement to see that her journey through COVID has been much like mine. Trying to reach out as many people as possible, but knowing this, that she didn't know if she was being listened to. She didn't know that people were actually being blessed by her. She didn't know that there were other people out there with the same feelings. She didn't know that God was also saying, it's okay, I'm coming quickly. She didn't know the fact that God, in fact, was using her in a powerful way. She just didn't know it. And sometimes I think that's the best way, but at the same time, I'd like to know now and then. You know, sometimes when the harvest is coming, it's time sensitive, but it seems that this year we're living through something that's a little bit of an extended summer, isn't it? I mean, how many of you have already seen snowflakes? No, not this year. In past years, I've seen snowflakes by now. I've seen freezes by now. But it seems like even in Earth's history, we're given just a little bit of time here to be able to talk to people and say, you know what? Time's not up yet, but the harvest is here. Maybe it's time to talk to people that you haven't talked to before and say, listen, hey, I want to tell you about my Jesus. I want to tell you about what he's done for me. I want to tell you about the things that he gives me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, confidence in a world that has none. It's time to pull in the harvest. We need to plant a cover crop, maybe. We need to do things, a lot of things, while the pandemic rages. But we need to live as if we have hope. We need to live as if we have a calling. And in spite of the fact that we have seen, you know, leadership in our church have COVID now, we've seen people in local churches now have COVID, and some people are not doing well at all, we still have hope. We still have one another. And in spite of the fact that some of us are off to this political and off to that political and off to this thing and off to that thing, none of that matters if we're not connected to Jesus Christ. Because as now we are in the closing parts of this earth's history, it is time to be a positive people, people that point to Jesus Christ, not people that point to my pet project, because I have a lot of them. Just two in closing today. I love making chainmail. That's the most weird thing a pastor could do, isn't it? Keeps your hands busy. It's like, I use, not barbed wire, because that'd be terrible, but the electric fence. I use that kind of stuff, and you cut it in little loops, and then you make sure that you weave them together in a specific way. And it's kind of a neat thing, because it's a little hobby, and I do a little blacksmithing, and I do a lot of other things, too. I used to collect Hot Wheels, not so much anymore. There's a lot of things I used to do, but they all were abilities to talk to other people that I don't have the ability to talk to otherwise. So if you have some kind of hobby, some kind of interest, go get involved in the community in that hobby and interest and talk to people about your love for God. Now, don't do it right away because they'll think you're weird. I mean, you say Seventh-day Adventist and people don't even know what you're talking about anymore. You say Christian and they're like, oh, yeah, one of you guys. You're going to preach to me and make me go to church. But if you start getting to know people, showing them that you do the things that they do and that you have a unique way of looking at life and that you love God, you'd be amazed at what seeds you could plant. And the harvest will never know until Jesus comes. Let's bow our heads today as we close this service. Our Father in heaven, as the farmers are taking in all the crops in the fields, we're reminded, dear Father, that you're going to come and you're going to harvest too, but it's going to be people. Dear Father, we want to be counted among them, but that's not because we enjoy the benefits, but we want you to be the center of our lives. We want to come and live with you forever. Dear Father, we also want others to join us and live with you forever because we have fallen in love with you. We know that you're the God of the universe, and we would like everyone around us to be able to have the relationship with you that we want too. Dear Father, be with us this week as we know that the pandemic is probably coming to a close or getting worse. We don't even know, but we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us. Give us the ability to know that if anything were to happen to us, that tomorrow we have secure in knowing that you're our God. And dear Father, if nothing, that we are going to proclaim it loud in every street that you are the God of the universe, that we too, dear Father, are your children. So dear Father, help us to be able to look toward that final harvest, the one where you put your sickle in and take us back home to live with you for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn today is We Give.